Well, hey, good morning, church. Good to see you all this morning. As you already heard from Tim, my name's Dane. I work in the youth ministry here at NLCC, and I see a bunch of students around as well, which is really cool. Good to see you all. We're in a really cool period because we're coming to the end of Luke, which we've been looking at for a rather long time. Some of you who have been more recent attenders may only know of Luke as the passage that we have gone back to over and over and over again. But today is the second last message. Noah will be bringing our last message next week in the book of Luke, and who knows where we'll go from there. But I'm really excited to bring the word to you this morning. We're just after Jesus has died, and many people don't know yet, but Jesus has risen again. And that's where we're going to be touching today with some people who are a little bit sad because they thought that Jesus would be a certain kind of Messiah, and then he was dead, and now what? And so one of the things we're going to be touching on this morning a lot is this picture or idea of fog. And for all of you, you probably are pretty familiar with fog because we do have a fog that sets over Langley, and in particular, Fort Langley. If any of you have ever driven through that, I kind of find it quite pretty and peaceful. But actually, fog can also be a little bit scary and a little bit dangerous. And so we're going to be touching quite a few times on this idea of fog this morning as we look at this guy named Cleopas and his travel companion on the road to Emmaus. But first, I want to catch you up. You'll know that we have just seen, as we've come out of Easter, we've just seen Jesus die on the cross. And we have hit, in the last few weeks, a part where these women went to the tomb to go do the things that they do at the tomb, clean and, you know, make sure everything is good with Jesus. And when they got there, the stone had been rolled away, and an angel had told them, hey, he is not here anymore, he has risen. And they ran back to the rest of the disciples and told them this is exciting news, to which scripture says that the disciples were less than believing. They sort of said, like, we don't believe you, this isn't true. In fact, if you look at the original language, it uses the sense of they thought it was folly or nonsense, except for Peter, who in Luke, it says that he ran to the tomb to go see if this was true. When he got there, it was true. The stone had been rolled away, and Jesus was not there, and so Peter was really excited. And so this is where we pick off our story today. So if you'd like to, you can turn to Luke chapter 24 in your Bibles or on your phones. Otherwise, it'll all be on the screen this morning. It's a bit of a longer passage, but I'll try to give you a little commentary as we go along. And let's see, what the story is going to say to us this morning. So Luke chapter 24, verses 13-35. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all these things that had just happened, Jesus dying and the word that he had risen again. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. So clearly Jesus has some kind of plan here because they didn't recognize Jesus, and it was intentional that they were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, oh, what is this conversation that you're holding with each other as you walk? Jesus, kind of knowing that already. And this is their response. They stood still, looking sad. I was thinking about that phrase. They stood still, looking sad. It's kind of like a disbelief. Like, how could you be asking this question? Everybody knows what has just happened. And so they're like stopped in their tracks. I can't believe this. And this is what they say. The one named Cleopas answered him, are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? And he said to them, what things? That's a typical Jesus response, right? What things? What are you talking about? Tell me. And they said to him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers, almost sounds like there's a bit of disillusionment here, like the chief priests and rulers, they arrested Jesus and they put him to death. So it says, delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all of this, it's now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was still alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found just as the woman had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, O foolish ones, great response, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going, Emmaus. He acted as if he were going farther. Kind of CG is going, okay, well, nice chat. See you later. Bye. Knowing full well what they would respond. But they urged him strongly, saying, stay with us. It's almost night. It's toward evening, and the day is now far spent. So he went in to stay with them. Surprise, surprise. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose that same hour. Something happened in their hearts here. They rose that very same hour and went back to where they came from, back to Jerusalem. Something clearly gripped them in that moment. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered there, saying, the Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, this is just such a beautiful passage of what it must have been like for people who did not understand what had just happened and who you were. And Lord, I feel like even in our own lives, there's so many times where we don't fully understand what you're doing. We don't fully understand the big picture of who you are and how you work. But the beauty of who you are, Lord, is that you come in and you meet with us. And Lord, that is what we want here this morning. Lord, we want you to be here. We know you are present, but we want your Holy Spirit to come and work and move and speak to every single one of us. Only then, Lord, can life change and heart change happen. And that's exactly what I want for myself. And I know many here want for themselves as well. So come and do your work. In your name we pray. Amen. So I was speaking about this fog idea. And for those who don't know, I have a different accent to the rest of you, just in case you were wondering. I'm from South Africa. I've been here 2.5 years now, which has been an amazing 2.5 years. And I really love every single one of you that I've been able to meet. But back in South Africa, we had this campsite that I would say is the closest thing to sort of a foresty camp that you would have here in Canada. And we would go there once a year. But 1 year in particular, we were traveling that way. And it's about probably about 60 to 80 kilometers to get there from where we lived. But the 1 year, it got so foggy that it was kind of one of those days where you put your hand out in front of your face and you can't even see your hand kind of thing. It was that bad. And now you got to understand, this is a highway. And so if any of you have ever driven on a highway in thick fog, you'll know it is a pretty dangerous situation. And for those who know a little bit about South Africa, to drive on the roads in fog can be even more dangerous because there are a lot of reckless drivers, especially around the city that I was from. But there's this space when you're in that you've got to make a decision. And the decision is, do you stop? Do you go on the side of the road? Do you stop? Do you slow down? Do you just keep going? And there's some nuances to all those things, because if you slow down, the person behind you is making those same decisions and they might not be slowing down and they ram into the back of you. And if you pull off to the side of the road, same thing, people can't see that you pulled off, and suddenly, if they're not driving wisely and they're maybe not keeping in their lines, they hit the side of your car as well, which is incredibly dangerous. And so there's this choice. You've got to keep to the speed that is suggested and just keep going cautiously watching. I think you'll know, It makes you really tired to concentrate like that. But there is this place that you just got to keep on going. And so I was just thinking about this passage, especially about this Cleopas and his travel companion. And it kind of was like there was this fog present in their life that they couldn't really see where they were going, but they knew they had to keep on going. And so let's look back at them. You'll know that they were traveling to Emmaus, and the Bible says Emmaus is about a 7 miles journey. And for them, walking and talking and enjoying the trip back, it probably would have taken them 3 to 4 hours to get back, you know, having a good conversation along the way, stopping in their tracks because they were shocked at a question. But something about the city of Emmaus is that people in that time would have really known that something significant happened. It was called the Battle of Emmaus. And in 166 BC, there was this big battle of Emmaus where the forces of the Seleucid Empire, who was led by King Antiochus IV Epiphanes, it's a great name, right? Any of you? Antiochus IV Epiphanes? But he was oppressing the Jewish people in Judea and Samaria. And the Jewish Maccabees, who was led by Judas Maccabeus. He was part of a revolt that was revolting against this emperor in that time. And they won a victory against this emperor, which was huge for creating a Jewish empire that had their own sovereignty, who was able to live in freedom. And they won this by guerrilla warfare. And for those who don't know, that's like little tactical groups, because they were actually heavily outnumbered, the Jewish people. And they had these little tactical groups that would go in and cause chaos. And so this was a huge victory for the Jewish people, not so long before this. And when they speak about Emmaus in scripture, it would have immediately been known that a battle had been fought there. And so when we look at this sort of fog that these two on the road were experiencing, they were experiencing this idea of, well, Jesus was meant to be our Messiah. Jesus was meant to be this person who was meant to win this huge victory, just like this victory that happened a few years ago, 200 years ago. But this is not what we expected. He died. Jesus is not meant to die. He's meant to have victory. But he died. That doesn't make sense. And so they were just lost in their thoughts. There is this sort of sense as they're walking of, yeah, this is not what we were expecting. We're a little bit sad. We were following this man, and this is not happening how we thought it would go. It seemed as though this Messiah that they had, these are some of his later disciples that came on board Jesus' team. And so they had seen a bit of who Jesus was. They had followed him. They had believed him. They had done some of his work. And yet now, Jesus, this man they followed, seemed to be gone. Now take a moment in your own mind to think about if you were one of Jesus' disciples in that moment, how you would have felt. I think all of us would have been a little bit disappointed. I thought it was going to be different. Like, this felt like we were building up to something. We were leading to something. And now it's just fizzled out, it's just stopped, it's not there anymore. I think we all have, well, some of us would have like anger, maybe disappointment, disillusionment, questioning, but we would all have this sense of like fogginess, like I can't really see past this moment, which is where they were or where they found themselves right now. So, cue a random stranger. And who's the random stranger? Jesus. But he was a random stranger to them. He just came and was walking on the road with them and started a conversation with them, which is also pretty interesting. And one of the things I love about Jesus is that he has this tendency to come and enter into the foggy situations in people's lives. All the way through the New Testament, we see this picture of Jesus entering into the foggy situations in people's lives. And for those who don't know, our high school ministry, we meet the last 2 Sundays of every month downstairs in the youth room. And one of the things we've been digging through was a series called Faith in an Anxious World. And the whole premise of the series was many of us struggle with anxiety, and many of the people around us struggle with anxiety as well. And how do we live out our faith strongly in an age of anxiety? And we touched on a couple of stories in that series, which are actually so pertinent today as we speak about Jesus entering into the foggy situations in our lives. The first one was the disciples were on a boat and there was a massive storm that was taking place. And you'll know the boat was going crazy and the disciple panicking. Not only that, but we saw Jesus coming across on the water and they were like, this is not good. There is a ghost out there. We are going to die. This is it. You know, they genuinely thought there was, I think the Bible says spirit. They thought there was a ghost in the water, and they would have made them freak out even more. But I love how the Bible puts it, because it says that Jesus was walking past, which is kind of like Jesus is like kind of wanting them to see him. And then when they called out, eventually realizing who it was, when they called out to him, the Bible says he changed direction and went towards them. This beautiful picture of God entering into that tricky situation that they found themselves in. And we all know that Jesus calmed the storm in that situation. Another boat story we had was when Jesus was sleeping in the boat and the disciples are once again panicking, and Jesus is right there, but he's fast asleep. And he's like, Jesus, don't you care about us? Jesus, do something. We're about to die. I mean, surely they should have got the picture that Jesus is sleeping, so everything will be fine. But they woke Jesus up, and he said, oh, you have little faith. And he calmed the storm, and another life lesson was taught there. We also learned about Bartimaeus, who was a blind man from birth, and how Jesus didn't just come and heal this blind man, but he actually entered into his world. He asked questions to Bartimaeus. He found out about Bartimaeus' history, because Jesus was not just interested in the physical healing of this person. He was interested in the holistic healing of this person. It's such a beautiful picture of how Jesus worked. Then we had two stories that were interwoven into one. Firstly, we had the woman who was suffering with bleeding for so many years in her life. And at the same time as this happening, Jairus, who was a well-known leader in the time, his daughter was really, really sick, and they were worried that she was about to die. And so Jesus is doing ministry as he always does, and this woman comes and touches the hem of his garment, and she is healed instantly. And Jesus realizes, he goes, who touched me? I felt power go out of me. And the beautiful thing about this thing is she was ridiculed. You just saw this shame in her life. She was living and felt so much shame in her life. But yet Jesus came and brought her dignity. He spoke to her. He didn't just bring healing of the physical ailment, but he actually spoke to her and gave her meaning and purpose where everyone else had ridiculed her. But while this was happening, the other girl that I spoke about actually died. And so the people who were sent to go and call Jesus were like, don't worry, Jesus, she's dead. You know, you're too late. Kind of, I think there would have been a little bit of a snarky if you were here, Jesus. You know, come on, you would have been able to do this, but you took your time. And Jesus goes, she's not dead, she's sleeping. And they all, like the Bible says, they all laughed at him, which is great, you know, everyone's laughing at Jesus. And then Jesus goes to this house, goes upstairs, and raises her from the dead. And so in a very dramatic, powerful way, enters into a very thick fog, a fog of death into this girl's life. But we see this beautiful picture over and over and over and over again of Jesus entering into the fog of people's lives. And I think that is so beautiful, because in this moment where Cleopas and the travel partner of Cleopas, which by the way, the name's not mentioned, so I'm just going to leave it at that. These two are traveling on the road, also feeling this fogginess. And yeah, Jesus comes again, walking along, not making himself known to them. And then they start having this conversation with him, and Jesus stops and walks this whole journey with them. It could have been 2 hours that he was talking with them, but it was really, really beautiful. And once again, a picture of how Jesus worked. And so as I was thinking about this and thinking about how do we allow that sort of, like when we find ourselves in foggy spaces in our life, how do we actually allow space for Jesus to do work? How do we allow space for our lives to, for us to be able to walk through the fogginess or walk out of the fogginess? And there were some thoughts that I had coming straight out of these two that were walking on the road. Firstly, we need to have a posture of humility. And I was just thinking as we saw these two walking, let's look at verse 25 and 27, or 2:27. And he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. How does Jesus start there? He goes, O foolish ones. Now, I think a lot of us, including me, if someone came up to me when I was resting through something and I thought I understood and knew something, and someone went, I don't want to say it because Jesus wouldn't have said it that way, but you know, you're dumb. He wouldn't have said it like that. But that was what it would have felt like, right? He's saying, you foolish people. Like, oh, foolish ones. Are you so slow to understand? But what did they do? They didn't go, what do you know? Who do you think you are? Right? They actually allowed him to speak and to walk with them for this whole journey. There was this posture and attitude of humility that they found themselves having in their life because they knew that this was something really, really, really important. And this morning, our walks with Jesus, it's really, really, really important. That's why scripture says we got to work it out with fear and trembling. It is so important. And here in this space, it was really important. They were inquisitive. They were willing to talk. Yes, they felt maybe a little bit sad because it looked like the hope had disappeared. But they knew this was important. And so they opened themselves up to anything that was going to help them in this current moment. And you know what was really cool as you read this? It was as if, as Jesus was speaking, this fog started lifting in their life. It's a really beautiful picture. Like, you see this journey, and then to the point that when they get to their destination, they're like, Jesus, come and stay with us. Like, they realize something beautiful and special was happening here. Let's look at verse 32. They said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? You see there's something changing here. There's a heart burning within us, within them. And I think we all want to be in that place. And we've experienced those moments where our hearts are burning within us. And this is what they've observed and what they wanted. There's something to learn here, this posture of humility. And as I was thinking about this, I have a really incredible life group. And I think some of them are here this morning, somewhere at the first service. But life group is a really great place. If you're not in a life group, think about it. But we have a really great life group. And there was a period where we were dealing with it was a tricky topic for all of us because there were slightly differing ideas of what the Bible said on that thing. But what I really loved about it is each one of us came into that situation with a posture of humility. We didn't come going like, well, I know all the answers, you're wrong, I'm right. But no, we came with a hunger to really dig in and to truly understand and to look a little bit deeper into scripture to see what does it really say. And the beautiful thing is we actually came out of that with a sense of joy in our group. I think still maybe there were some nuances to different people's understanding, but it was this beauty of that we can actually rest in this beauty of disagreement. Our life group is still going strong, and it's been a long time since those discussions, but there is this beauty of wrestling through scripture together and to have this posture of, I don't know everything, and that's actually okay. And the second point this morning, which actually I was like, it could be 1A and 1B because they're so closely interlinked, but I'm going to call it 2 for this morning. The second point is that we need to open ourselves up to input. So we can only open ourselves up to input if we actually have a posture of humility in our lives, but we need to have that posture of humility and then be open to people speaking into our life. We see that right here with Jesus. They allow Jesus to speak into their life. I think as well, if we were walking on that road and this guy came and started sort of criticizing the way that we were thinking about something and then start sharing the whole gospel story, which, well, I know already, I probably would have gone, oh, let's just ignore this guy. I don't know who he is, but we're just going to carry on with our journey. You know, this is our conversation. But they didn't do that. They journeyed with him. They listened to him. They invited that input into their lives. And that was something that started shaping and changing their hearts and started opening them up, started clearing the fog. As they were walking, it was like they were walking out of the fog in their life because they allowed this stranger, they didn't know it was Jesus, this stranger to speak into their life. And I think Jesus was actually, when he didn't make himself visible to them, he was actually trying to teach them a lesson. He was trying to, like Jesus does, he was trying to show them something that is really, really, really important. It was another Jesus lesson that was taking place right here. There was value in this input. And so even for us, there's value in people having input into our own lives as well. That's why I say like a life group is a really great place for that. But maybe a mentor is someone that would be really good to find. Maybe even a good friend who loves Jesus to wrestle through things together. But don't try and walk it alone, because when we walk it alone, often that fog is so much thicker, but also often it's really difficult to actually be able to walk through and find the end of that fog as it lifts and we're able to see things clearly again. So those are the first two thoughts I had that sort of interlink with each other. We need to have a posture of humility and we need to allow people to have input into our lives. But the last one for me was, I really felt like this is a really powerful one for us this morning. It was a powerful one for me as I was preparing. But it's moving from a head knowledge of who God is to it permeating our hearts, to it being our everything. When we truly understand who Jesus is, like we saw in this passage, the fire was burning inside of them, it becomes more than just head, but head and heart together. And we can't do head and heart together as a believer without the Holy Spirit being involved in every aspect of that, which we will talk about. But I was just thinking about one of the things I've said to our students recently as well, specifically around worship. And we were just talking about true worship and giving our all within actual singing of worship. And one of the things that I do, which you probably will observe me from time to time doing, is when we start worship songs, we all come from different sort of spaces in our lives. And for some of us, it is quite hard to step in here and be present in this moment and to know that Jesus is here and Jesus wants to meet with me and wants to speak with me. And so one of the things I do is I often don't immediately start singing. I will just stand, I'll look at the words, and I want them to start speaking to me and for my heart to start opening and my heart to start softening to what Jesus actually wants to say to me in that morning. And then once it's almost like it's gone or dropped from my head into my heart, then it changes the way that I worship in that morning. And it's something really beautiful. And now for you, it could be any other sort of response, but that's something for me that I see the importance of moving something from my head to my heart so that my whole being is coming before God and praising and believing. And maybe the depth of Jesus at work in your life this morning, maybe you still need that posture of humility and people input in your life, and that's good and okay. So don't feel like you have to be at this last point straight away. Like all of these are working together to discover the fullness and wholeness of who Jesus is. Now I spoke about the Holy Spirit, and I just found a couple scriptures that show a bit about who the Holy Spirit is. So you can take a look at the screen. These scriptures said that he's our helper. He helps us remember. He intercedes on our behalf. You know, the one about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience. Power and boldness the Holy Spirit gives. Wisdom and understanding. He brings freedom. He's a guide in all truth. He convicts the world of sin. And he removes a heart of stone and gives a heart of flesh. Don't those all sound like fog-removing attributes? Right? Every single one of those would remove some kind of element of fogginess in our lives. And that's who the Holy Spirit is, and that's how the Holy Spirit works. And I think, I know, like for me it's true, but I think we don't allow the Holy Spirit to work enough in our lives. We don't trust him enough in our lives. The more that we can surrender, the more that we can hand over, the more that we can be like these two disciples that were on the road to Emmaus and just allow people to speak into our lives and allow Jesus to come alongside us and allow the Holy Spirit to come and move and work in our lives, the more we will experience fog start to fade. The more we will experience our walking through some difficult fogs in our lives and be able to start seeing the end. The Holy Spirit was given shortly after this journey on the road. For that exact purpose. And Romans 5 verse 5, I really love this scripture. It says, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. God's love has been poured into our hearts. Not our minds. It's poured into our hearts. That fire that these two spoke about, that is true for us when the Holy Spirit comes and does something really cool and powerful in our lives. And so coming back to that image of fog this morning, I think all of us have different experiences of fogginess in our lives. For some of us, it's deep and you can't see your hand from in front of us. For some of us, it's sort of a murky, yeah, I can step forward. And for some of us, we're in a place where the sun is shining right now and I don't experience any fog. But you can probably remember moments in your life where there was some deep fog in your life. And so we all have something that God is saying to us this morning. And I want you just to take a second to just think in yourself and go, if I look at myself right now, if I look in my heart and maybe in my head, how foggy is how I'm experiencing life right now? Am I in, it's thick? am I just taking one step at a time? But where am I right now in my life? I was listening to a podcast, and it just reminded me again. In the podcast, it said the things that we've had for a while, they have less wonder to them. And it's not just speaking about like our walk with Jesus, but if you think about anything that's like super great, and you get it and you're like, oh, I've been waiting for this. And then like a year later, it's like, you know, you don't even touch the thing anymore. I know for those who are parents, like your kids all the time, I want that, I need it, please. And then you buy it, and then a week later, like they don't even play with it anymore. It's like, well, kind of wasted some money there. But that it's so true. Like we lose wonder the more that we spend time with something. It's just the way that it is. And so there has to be something in our walks with Jesus that has to keep reigniting that wonder within our lives. And in the context of today, to bring us through that fog and those difficult moments in our life where we can find that joy and wonder and awe and splendor that these two on the road to Emmaus experienced and felt on that day. They didn't start that way. But when Jesus came and broke the bread, suddenly they realized. Suddenly it all came alive for them. So, in thinking about this morning, in thinking about the fog in our own lives, I think every single one of us need to know that Jesus comes and steps into the fog. We're often the ones who, when Jesus wants to work, we go, no, I think I'm okay for now. When Jesus wants to do heart surgery, or when Jesus wants to come and intersect our lives, when Jesus wants to come and step into the fog and walk with us, even if that is a long journey, we go, oh, you know, it's too hard. It's too hard work. This is too much. Too much for me, too much for him. Or maybe even there's this place where you just don't have that sense of wonder and awe anymore. Have this beautiful thought of, what is one of the other things that clears fog? When the sun shines and starts heating up, right? And so in the same way, when Jesus, the sun, comes into our lives, he starts to remove that fog. He starts to heat things up. He starts to bring that passion and that joy, that fire, once again into our lives. And so shortly, we're going to move into a time of focusing on the elements and communion. But I also want to say that if you do want prayer because you feel like you're in this space of fogginess, and you know what? It's okay. It's okay to be in that space. Here were people who walked with Jesus physically, and they would find themselves in a place of fog. It's okay. We're allowed to be there. It's allowed to be tough because life is tough and this world is tough. But Jesus wants you to know this morning that he can intersect. He can step right into those tough moments. And although we still will be faced with many tough moments in our lives, we get to walk those with Jesus and we get to take one more step towards the end of that foggy space in our lives. And so I had one more thought as we head into communion. It's really interesting that before Jesus died, when they had the Last Supper, you would think that that would be the moment where the disciples like clicked and realized this is who Jesus is. But they didn't. They were still in that mind frame that I spoke about at the beginning, that foggy mind frame of, well, Jesus is the conquering Messiah. He's going to defeat the people. They didn't even get it in that moment. In fact, we saw so because Peter chopped off that ear. Military, violence, you know? They thought that Jesus was going to be this mighty military conqueror, that he was going to rescue people from suffering. But the truth is that Jesus came and rescued people through suffering. And the whole of Scripture testifies to that. And so, as we take these elements, I'm trusting this morning again that this is not just eating bread and drinking grape juice. But this is remembering the power of who Jesus is. Like the end of this road to Emmaus they came alive. There was a fire in their lives and their heart when they realized who Jesus is. I want to encourage you to take a moment this morning to realize who Jesus is and that he wants to step into your life. So, on the night when Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." I'm just going to give you 20 seconds to do this in remembrance of him. Eat this bread together. And then in the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And as we take this cup, we realize that Jesus' life is ours. And so let's drink this cup in remembrance this morning. Jesus, oh, we thank you so much for who you are. None even come close to who you are. On this road, how wise and how gentle and how patient you were, and on our roads, just the same. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so the beauty of who we see in this story today is the beauty that we get to have in our lives. And so come, Lord, in these last few songs and continue to speak to us, continue to work in our hearts, that it may not just be a head knowledge of who you are, but something beautiful that your Holy Spirit is stirring within us. We want to be people who are alive, that fire is burning. And so, Lord, come and have your way and work and move. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.